You're listening to SBS News.
The first doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine are now on their way to Australia. Excitement for their arrival is growing, but so are the myths and misinformation surrounding the vaccine. We spoke to leading infectious disease physician and ANU professor Peter Collignon to debunk six of the most common myths about the vaccines. Our first myth, that the vaccine is unsafe for older people. This myth gained traction after 33 elderly people in Norway died in the weeks after receiving their first dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Norway's Institute of Public Health later confirmed there was no direct link between their deaths and the vaccine, but the blow to vaccine confidence had already been dealt. Professor Collignon says while vaccines can cause a mild fever, which could cause complications for elderly people who are already extremely unwell, the reality is that those people have a much higher death rate as it is.
The bottom line is that everything we do with a vaccine will have some mild and sometimes serious side effects, but they're very rare. And you've got to compare that to the disease itself. If you've got a disease like COVID, that if you're over the age of 85 in a nursing home, you've got a 1 in 3 chance of dying from getting the disease, then even if you have a rare increased risk of death from the vaccine, the benefits still far outweigh any downsides of the vaccine.
Last month, reports that the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine in particular may not be safe for older people started circulating after Germany and France only approved the vaccine for people under the age of 65. But Professor Collignon says those approval decisions were more about how much data is available and less about safety concerns.
So far, the AstraZeneca vaccine hasn't had as much approval in countries as the Pfizer vaccine. And the reason for that is a lot of the studies were finished later. So with any approval process, they say, look, we've got enough data to be pretty sure in these age groups. We don't know about the others. We need to collect more data. But that's not a reason you can't use it in those other age groups. You just have to be part of an ongoing data collection. And so far, all the data is that it will work and that it will be safe.
Our second myth, that the vaccine will somehow give you COVID-19. An easy one to answer for Professor Collignon. He says that is virtually impossible.
The vaccine won't give you COVID because it doesn't contain live virus. None of the vaccines contain live virus or any variation of COVID. So it would almost be impossible to get COVID from the vaccine itself.
Myth number three is one you've probably heard a lot, that the vaccine mustn't work because it was made too quickly. The coronavirus vaccines that we'll soon be using in Australia are the fastest vaccines ever created, by a long shot. Other vaccines we use regularly today have taken decades to produce. But in the context of the unprecedented death and disruption caused by COVID-19, scientists were able to get the job done in less than 12 months. Professor Collignon says while the data collection process will be ongoing, there is no doubt these vaccines are both safe and effective.
Well, there's no doubt that that statement's wrong. The vaccine is effective. There's lots of data on lots of vaccines around the world that shows they work. Now, they don't work 100% of the time, but most of them working at least 60% efficacy and a lot of them towards 80, 90%. So they do work, but do we need more data? Yes, we do, because there's age groups, particularly those over 80, where we need a lot more data. And children, for instance, we don't have data. So yes, we've made big steps forward and we've done them much quicker than usual. But we've actually still got the adequate safety data and efficacy data being collected, and what we've got so far looks good.
Our next myth takes a little longer to explain, that because the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine only has about a 60 to 70% efficacy, it can't protect us. The Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine is set to become the cornerstone of Australia's vaccine rollout, with a production deal allowing CSL to produce 50 million doses locally. While preliminary data from Pfizer-BioNTech showed a 95% efficacy, Oxford-AstraZeneca's is currently sitting between 60 to 70%. But Professor Collignon says while the vaccine may not stop all infections, it does stop most people from becoming seriously ill and is a lot easier to store and transport than Pfizer's.
The AstraZeneca vaccine is not as good at preventing all disease as the Pfizer vaccine, for instance, but it seems to be very good at stopping people from dying and getting severe disease. And you've got to remember, that's what we're most worried about, people dying from this infection. So it's probably much better than 60%, maybe 80 or 90% at stopping people from dying. And we've got to remember, the Pfizer vaccine has got to be stored at minus 70, when, you know, can't be stored in an ordinary refrigerator for any period of time. So in practice, when you look at the practicalities of rolling it out, the AstraZeneca vaccine may end up being as efficacious in the real world as the Pfizer vaccine because of cold chain issues.
Recent data from the UK showed the vaccine actually blocked 82% of infections when the two doses were given 12 weeks apart instead of 4 weeks apart, which only showed an efficacy of 62%. But Professor Collignon says if the vaccine can stop people from dying, we won't care too much about infection in the future.
You've got to remember, COVID has a death rate probably 5 to 10 times higher than influenza. Influenza mainly kills people in their 80s and 90s. But COVID is much worse than influenza. So if we've got anything that we can roll out that markedly decreases the death rate by, say, 80-90%, which probably the AstraZeneca vaccine will do as well, then that is worth having. You know, masks are a good idea if you've got a lot of community transmission. They probably only decrease your risk by 15 or 20%. So if you've got something that decreases your risk by 60 to 90%, you'd be silly not to use that as well, because it is so much better protection than just relying, for instance, on masks.
Myth number 5, that you don't need the vaccine if you've already had COVID-19. This one isn't entirely false, to a point. It's true that if you've beaten a COVID-19 infection, your immune system will have developed the antibodies needed to protect you from future infection, the same antibodies the vaccine will give you. But we still don't know how long those antibodies will last. Professor Collignon says the data so far is pointing to at least 1 year, and a vaccine should only extend that protection.
If you're sure you have had COVID because you've had a positive PCR test, then maybe you don't need the vaccine, or you don't need to be in the front row or the front of the line. But so far, there's no evidence of any harm from being revaccinated, and in theory, it might give them added protection that will last for longer. Particularly if, you know, you need booster shots every few years.
And that brings us to our final myth, that the vaccine will hurt your ability to get pregnant in the future. There is no evidence that any coronavirus vaccine in use or in development will impact your fertility. This myth likely stems from the fact that most countries are recommending women don't get vaccinated while pregnant, but only because the vaccines are yet to be tested on pregnant women. This is not unusual. Most vaccine trials throughout history have not included pregnant women. Professor Collignon says data about post-vaccination fertility would become available in the months and years to come, but he's not expecting any surprising results.
I don't see any reason why the vaccines would hurt your ability to become pregnant in the future. In fact, I would think the disease itself, COVID, would make that more likely if you get very sick and you have low oxygen levels and kidney problems, etc.
Claudia Farhart, SBS News.